kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I've got a title today which I'd like us to look on and think about, and we're calling our teaching today, Fellowship is Also Moving with God. Fellowship is also moving with God. We often hear, and we probably say it ourselves when talking about the Lord or sharing the faith and so on, it's about fellowship with God. It's about relationship. And of course, it is. But it's infinitely more than that. Fellowship with God is also walking, moving with Him. It's keeping up with Him. We can soon get lost or left behind. And that's why a lot of professing Christians sadly go back or backslide. And a lot of that is caused because they're not keeping up with God. They're not walking with Him in that true fellowship that we're supposed to do. And I want to address this today because I think this is a big problem. We've had problems ourselves with this. But we have to remember that God provides through the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to be able to keep up, to move with God, to walk with God. You see, there are times when you're walking with God that He's walking in areas and places that we don't always like, or we allow fear to get in or whatever. But we know that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we're going to look at this, and I want to look at a character in the Bible who walked with God. And turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis. I want to start this first in Genesis chapter 4, verses 25 to 26. And then we will look in chapter 5 of Genesis and looking at verses 18 to 23. So we'll start first in chapter 4 and we'll look at verses 25 and 26. And here we see Adam, Eve out of the garden. Now they are living as man and wife. And we know that the first sin took place, the killing of Abel. Cain is now a fugitive. And we see how things progress. And it says in verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. So there the faith walk begins to take place. There is now the calling by faith on the name of the Lord. For what? For salvation, for covering, to deal with sin. And then we get into chapter 5 of the family of Adam and Eve, and we see something interesting starts to happen through all these generations, and many of them walked hundreds of years before God. And then we see something interesting beginning to happen, and we take it up in verse 18 of Genesis 5. And here it says, Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. So nearly to 1,000 years. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. Notice how many times it stresses that he walked with God. You don't get that said with the others. It says they called on the Lord for salvation. But here it speaks of Enoch who walks with God. And he was not, for God took him. And then Methuselah's son lives 180 years and goes on. He's the oldest who lives. And but we notice with Enoch, out of the rest of them, that he walked with God, which is interesting. And that's why we're taking this title today. It's fellowship is moving with God, or is walking with God. Now, the name Enoch, we don't fully know its interpretation, but we know enough that it implies consecration. That's what it implies. So we get an idea that Enoch was consecrated to walk with God. And he was not, for God took him. There is the first overcomer. There is the first saint who walks with God, keeping up with God. There is the idea of consecration. Consecration is fellowship, relationship with Almighty God. Now, what is our understanding of consecration? Well, let's just remind ourselves again of what we mean by this. It means that you set yourself, you consecrate yourself before God. I'm reminded of King David, when King David had sinned with Bathsheba, and they had a son, and it says that he went into fasting for his son, because remember, his son was born ill and he didn't live. And when King David saw his servants talking about this, he knew that his son had died. And what does it say? It says he washed himself, he changed his clothing, and he went in and worshipped Yahweh. There is the idea of consecration in the Old Testament. The idea of consecration under the New Covenant is that we separate ourselves from the world, and how the world walks, how it talks, how it acts, what it gets involved with, and everything. We consecrate ourselves unto God as believers. As the word says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing. The priesthood had to wash themselves and their clothes before they went in to do the priestly services that were required. There is this idea again of consecration. And so it's interesting that Enoch, that name, implies consecrate. So what do we get the understanding with Enoch? He consecrated himself to walk with God. And that starts to give us this understanding of an overcomer. The one who wants to go up in the rapture to be part of the first fruits. This is, so we need the teaching, we need the revelation, we need the understanding, and that of course is why we teach the deeper life. Get back into the deeper life book that a lot of you have, and you will see all of this coming out. And he was a man who walked with God, and eventually he walked out of this world into eternity. And that's what is this title implies. This fellowship, this moving or walking with God means that you are going to walk until you walk out of this world. You can't walk any further in it. You've walked it all. Spiritually, that is. And you will go up and be with the Lord in eternity. Hallelujah. So there is that name, Enoch, consecration. Now, little is known about him. That's all really we have. And I think God makes no mistake about that. He doesn't want us to analyze it too much. Only the fact is this man walked with God and was not, for God took him. But we also know a little bit more about him if we turn to the book of Hebrews. Let's turn to Hebrews. And there he's mentioned among the saints, amongst the patriarchs, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you want to please your heavenly Father? Is that your heart's desire? It should be. If you are born again of the Spirit, that is what pleases God, that you walk with him. You keep up with him. You keep in fellowship with him. You are only interested in him and him alone. Everything else is secondary. That's what it means to move with God, to walk with God. And wish to God more Christians see this one. But we'll look into that with some of the problems that happen with regard to this. We also know that several books were ascribed to Enoch. We know the Book of Enoch. Some of us have read the Book of Enoch. And that it reveals that he had revelations and secret revelations from God. And we know that certainly the first chapter of the Book of Enoch is very anointed. And he reveals what happens when you walk in relationship with God, or you have fellowship with God. And this is the true test of an overcomer. It's not what he does when things are happening and everything is great and we've got revival and we're on the mountaintops and everything. When tremendous things are happening and it's all exciting, oh, that can be anyone. Anyone can be an overcomer then. It's when little is happening. That's the test. The wilderness is where relationship is built. And God, we know, took Israel into the wilderness for that very purpose, to get a nation to walk with him, like Enoch. But they would not have it. They were stiff-necked. In other words, they were arrogant, proud, rebellious. Oh, they wanted to be delivered from bondage. They wanted to see the miracles, and they most certainly did see the miracles. No other nation can appeal to that. Only Israel saw the nations of Yahweh, the miracles of Yahweh. Yet it did nothing. And God knows the heart. He knows the human nature. And he knows the way to get us to walk with him. and that is in the wilderness. And that's why you lose so many. That's why in my ministry I have lost so many, because they don't want the wilderness where you are trained to walk and move with God. They've had enough of it. And you will, if your eyes are not solely looking to the Lord and the Lord alone, you'll never be able to stay in this environment. You can only remain in this environment when it is a relationship with God and you are looking to Him and Him alone. You're not looking to anything else. Then you will survive these conditions, but these very conditions will get you ready for the rapture because you're walking with Him. The wilderness is where relationship is always built and always will be. Turn with me, if you will, to John 3:29. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 29 to 36. Now, I know I often refer to this, but you'll see again why I go back to this so often. John chapter 3, we'll take it from verse 29. And this is where John the Baptist, he pronounces that Christ is the Messiah. He's exalting Him, and for a very good reason. And he says in verse 29, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled." Look, he's got revelation of marriage, of fellowship, walking with God. That's why he's the great prophet. "He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." He's distinguishing revelation. He's speaking about this can only now come from above. You are now going to have revelation. It will no longer be earthly or sensual anymore. This is what he's implying. Now, this great prophet, John the Baptist, let me say before I go on, the reason he was such a great prophet, he walked in the wilderness. God trained him in the wilderness. And that's what he's doing with us. And it goes on. "And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but wrath of God abides on him." So he's clearly distinguishing the earth and heaven, and that he is from above. He's distinguishing himself from Messiah, because they, of course, thought that this was the Christ. But he clearly reveals he's not. He's from above. I'm from the earth. And so here we get this wonderful analogy that one walks with God. You keep up with God. And you will have this understanding, this revelation of what this great prophet John the Baptist had. He was the forerunner. He was the one that was preparing the way for somebody greater to come. We, in many ways, are a type of forerunners. We're forerunners because of the state of the Christendom and the state of the church. This is why, because Christendom is in a state, we are forerunners again, declaring, speaking of the one that you can only get this from above. You can't get this out of intellect or study or going to theological college. You get this from above. You get it as you walk, you move with God. And some get this and some don't. It has to be revealed. I know it's not easy. It can be painful to keep up with God, to walk with God, to keep pace with Him. It's not always easy. There are times I feel I'm getting left behind. But I thank God for that. It challenges me to keep up. If I'm starting to get left behind, or I'm not seeing things as I should, or whatever it is, it gets me to cry out to God. And don't ever be offended by that. Don't be offended if God's exposing things in your life. It's to get you to cry out to God. It's to get you to communicate with Him. It's the means of your deliverance. To keep up with Him. Because we do start getting left behind at times. And we get left behind at times when we start to take our eyes off Him. We start to get absorbed in my feelings and my emotions and what I'm going through. And somebody upset me, or somebody has rejected me, or whatever it would be. The enemy's a master at getting us absorbed in ourselves. And what happens? We're no longer moving with God as we should be. We're not keeping up with Him. And it's the mercy and grace of God that stops us and says, stop looking at yourself. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Look away and look to me. And the moment you do, that deliverance is there. That change of mind and heart is there. It's like that load comes off your back. Look away and look to Christ. This is what God was constantly saying to Israel through the prophets. And He's constantly saying to us, look to me. All that word is come. Come to me, all that are laboring and are heavy loaded. And He says, I will take that yoke that burdens you. But you've got to move with God. You've got to keep up with Him. And I know it's not always easy. There's a lot of things go on. There are a lot of obstacles in this life. A lot of things that we also have to do because we are responsible. But all the while we're looking to Him, we will continue to walk with Him. Sometimes you have to get your second wind spiritually to learn to walk and fellowship with Him, because sometimes you get winded. We know that sometimes if we're late. All of us have been late, or sometimes we found ourselves running for the bus or running to try and get the train or whatever it is. And you almost have to stop to get your second wind. Well, that happens to us spiritually. But praise God, Psalm 91 says He gives His angels charge over us. All of God's angels and provisions are for the purpose that you keep up with Him. You walk with Him. He's given everything at our disposal to keep that relationship with Him, that unbroken relationship, 24/7. Because the overcomers, the first fruits, are the ones who will go up in the rapture. But you know, it's interesting. Once you've got that second wind, you start to stride out and you start to walk with him. And you keep up with him. And that's where things then happen. When you're walking with God, you're keeping up with God, that is when God works through you supernaturally. And this is why the enemy tries to keep us out of sync. He doesn't want us walking with God or keeping up with God. And one of the ways he does it is to get you to be involved in yourself, your circumstances, your trials. But praise God, he allows us to go through these trials, which are all tailor-made for the purpose that we can move with him. So your trials are your deliverance. And that's why we count it all joy. You see, only God can do this, can't he? Man could never do this. And Enoch proved that he walked that stride. Enoch proved that he moved with God. And therefore, he walked and walked with God until he walked out of this time, this world, and he walked into eternity with Almighty God. And there he will be as an overcomer, like the rest of us as well. And it's nothing wrong for you to confess, I'm walking with God until I no longer walk any longer in this world. And I start to walk into eternity. This is why I say, brothers and sisters, you are caught in between this world and eternity. You're in between it all. That's what's happening. That's what should be happening to us. This is why you don't fit in anywhere. This is why, you know, yes, we have an interest in everything and so on. We can go places and so forth, but it doesn't control us. I know some Christians who live for their holidays. They can't wait till they have a holiday. And their life is built around it, looking to it and preparing and saving for it. That's not walking with God. That's your heart affection still in the world. No, he walked with God. And whatever encountered, whatever came in that path, never hindered his walking, his striding with God. And if God moved quicker, he moved quicker. If God was slower, he was slower. But you know, the wonderful thing about this is, he, in that walking, he emerged with God, and the two became one. And there is the mystery, brothers and sisters. And that is the mystery that the Apostle Paul was bringing out to the Christians, the early Christians. And you read it in the book of Ephesians. And of course, he uses this analogy in marriage, where they become one flesh. And so this moving with God, walking with God, you emerge, that you become one with him. And that is the mystery of this walk. And we have to be trained for this. We've got to be trained to walk with him. And that's why we labor with the deeper life in the Spirit. The deeper life, the revelation of the deeper life, brothers and sisters, is that you merge and become one with him in your walk. That's the goal for the overcomer. And that's why we're being delivered. And what are we being delivered from? In the mind, a lot of this intellectual reasoning. Intellectual reasoning cannot reason this. It cannot fathom it, cannot work it out. The only way you will ever understand this is when you walk and move with God. That is your revelation. Everything to understand this comes from above. That is what John the Baptist was revealing and showing. He knew he couldn't do that. He knew he hadn't got that power and that anointing. And that's why he said, I now decrease that he increases. This is what we've been waiting for. And this is why you don't have to intellectually try and reason these things out. You never will. And this is where most go wrong. This is where a lot of theologians go wrong. This is where a lot of preachers are going wrong. And God had to work this with me. I bought all the books when I started studying. I bought this book, that book. I was paying a fortune on these books, trying to reason and understand intellectually. And I've got shelves filled with these books. I've got rid of a lot of them now. And finally, I got it. I cannot understand this in my own intellect. This comes from above. And the only way I will get this, you will get this, is when we walk with him, we move with him, and we keep up with him. Only the Spirit can achieve this walk. And then what is impossible becomes possible. And you will say to these mountains, be removed and cast into the sea, and they will, because you get it from above. You don't get it from your intellect. You trying to reason it out. We can intellectually reason an awful lot in this walk. That's why psychiatry cannot understand this. And we've all tried to do it. We've all tried to intellectually fathom and work it out. And we're no nearer to understanding, are we? And you know why? Because it's about walking with God. That is what we should be interested in and consumed in. Everything else is secondary. When I wake up in the morning, I wake up to walk with God so that I merge and become one with him. That is what you live for. That is what you are being trained for. That is what makes you an overcomer. That is what you should be consumed in. And everything else will flow as a result from that, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you walk with him in that way, you have a new vision, you have a new purpose, because your walk is supernatural. And you will walk, and you will walk, and you will walk with God until you no longer will walk, because you will find yourself walking now in heaven with Jesus. Let him do that work, brothers and sisters. I know it sounds sometimes almost like fantasy. It sometimes sounds as though, can this really be true? Is this what this is really about? Well, brothers and sisters, I can assure you it is. Because I've tried everything and it's failed. I've tried to study. I've tried to study theology. But of course, God is merciful. He knows that we're children. We have to start with that milk, but we progress to the meat of the word. And when you go over to the meat of the word, it's quite different. So we see our Heavenly Father. He knows how to nurture and look after us. He knows how to feed us, to protect us, to preserve us, because we are his family. We are his sons and his daughters. And this maturing and this growing up now is for the purpose that we no longer walk this world anymore, but we walk in eternity, because we are merging and becoming one with him. The same as Enoch experienced that, so we will as well by his grace and mercy. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for exhorting and encouraging us today. Thank you, Lord, that we are on the right path. We know the enemy doesn't like this, and he tries to trick us. He tries to get our eyes away from looking and walking and moving with God. But Lord, we've heard it, we've tasted it, and we know that it is good. And so I pray you'll bless this word, Father, to all who hear this, and that this will go to the remnant around the world in the four corners of the earth. And I pray you'll bless it and anoint it, Lord, to all those that hear it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find secure.